I'm not a musician. I have tried on occasions, not publicly, but I've tried to learn to play a few things. But I do love to hear folks who can sing, play piano, play instruments. I suppose my favorite instrument is either the saxophone or the trumpet. I love to hear Brother Rich Bird play that trumpet at the fear of being maligned by folks who might hear this. I'll tell you, I love to hear Dizzy Gillespie play it too. I like to hear a fellow do what he can do well. But gospel preachers are trumpeteers. The preaching of the gospel is frequently throughout the scriptures compared to the blowing of a trumpet. It's compared to a trumpet sound of joyous announcement. And sometimes it's compared to a trumpet sound of alarm. The apostle says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, that is, if a man preaches, but preaches with ambiguity. A man stands up here and uses the word of God and puts a cloak around it so you can't understand it. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? But throughout the book, preaching, gospel preaching, is compared to the blowing of a trumpet. And the first time we see this is back in the book of Exodus. Turn there if you will. The first mention of a trumpet is found in connection with God giving his law at Mount Sinai. And the trumpet is here spoken of as the very voice of God himself, which the people heard. And they trembled as God called Moses up to the mount to give his law. Look at verse 13 of chapter 19. Exodus 19, 13. The Lord gives warnings concerning this Mount Sinai, that which was the picture, the emblem of his holy, severe, unbending, uncompromising law and justice. He says, there shall not an hand touch it. It wasn't because that mountain was special. It wasn't. It was just a pile of dirt with some wood on it. But that mountain represented something. It represented God's holy law. And any man who puts his hand to it is going to die. You're going to die. You that would be under the law, don't you hear what the law says? There shall not an hand touch it. But he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, then shall they come up to the mount. Verse 19. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by a voice. And then God gave what's commonly called the Ten Commandments. It should not be called such. He gave his law. And the summary of it was given in those Ten Commandments. But to separate this from any other aspect of the law is to do violence to the Scriptures. And in verse 18 of chapter 20, after they've received the commandments, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountains smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off, and they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but don't let God speak to us. Let not God speak with us, lest we die. We've got to have someone between us and this august, holy God. We've got to have a mediator. Someone who can represent us to God, someone who can represent God to us. Verse 20. And Moses said to the people, fear not, For God has come to prove you, and that you may fear, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood far off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Now, throughout the scriptures, the Lord Jesus used blast of trumpets to call his people, to summons his people to himself, as he did here on Sinai. These blasts of trumpets were used to call for solemn assemblies, holy convocations of the people to worship God at his throne. They were used to prepare the people for their journeys as they moved about in the wilderness from place to place on their way to the land of promise. The blast of the trumpet was used to prepare for war and warn of an advancing enemy. The blast of the trumpet was used to announce every new moon and to announce the year of Jubilee. Now, all this was highly symbolic. In fact, the Lord God gives one of his holy feasts by which he was to be worshipped by all the people of Israel to be a feast of trumpets. Let's look at it in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. One of Israel's holy convocations, one of their annual times of worship, when they would gather at Jerusalem to worship the Lord God, was called the Feast of Trumpets. It's given here in Leviticus 23, verses 23, 24, and 25. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, this is given a little more elaborately in the book of Numbers. Turn to chapter 10 in Numbers. Numbers, the 10th chapter. Let's read a little bit more detail. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly, and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves to thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. Verse 6. When you blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. No alarm here. The sons of Aaron the priest shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God, for I am the Lord your God. Look in chapter 29. One more passage in this context. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, for it is a day of the blowing of the trumpets unto you. And you shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord. one bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, 3/10 deals for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram, and 1/10 deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs, and 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering to make atonement for you. Beside the burnt offering of the month and his meat offering, and the daily burnt offering and his meat offering, and their drink offerings according to their manner, for sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. Now, without question, there's just no question, the Feast of Trumpets was a representation of that spiritual joy and gladness that belongs to God's elect by the experience of grace through faith in Christ Jesus the Lord. When we are made to know the joyful sound of the gospel. Brother Ron Wood read a passage in Isaiah 35 sometime in the last couple of weeks, I think back in the office. Listen to this. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and with everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The psalmist David, while referring to the Feast of Trumpets, says, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Blessed are those people who understand what the sound of the trumpet is. Blessed are those people who know the joyful sound. Now, let's look at this a little more closely. Let me show you 3 things with regard to the Feast of Trumpets, particularly with regard to this trumpet. First, the trumpet is God's voice, symbolically. As the trumpet sounded at Sinai was God's voice calling the people, so the preaching of the gospel is God's voice to us. It is by this means that God speaks to men. At Sinai, the trumpet represented God's voice. The people heard it and trembled. But the Apostle John heard that same voice. He heard it in Revelation chapter 1. And as he turned and looked and heard the Son of God speak, he who walks in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks, who holds the lamps in his hands, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, and he said, I heard the voice of a great trumpet sound. It is the voice of God speaking to men. In Hebrews, we're told, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. This is the most awesome thing in the world to me. I tremble at the realization of it. It is my responsibility. It is my responsibility as I stand in this place to do what no man can do. It is my responsibility to speak to you the Word of God as the very voice of God Almighty. We then, as ambassadors for Christ, pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God, as though God did beseech you by us. I prepare diligently. I study hard. My mind's a little thick. It takes a while for things to get lodged in here. But unless God Almighty speaks through this worthless, empty pipe, no preaching has been done. I'm not here to merely instruct your minds, though I want to do that. I'm not here merely to persuade you of divine truth, though certainly I want to do that. I'm here praying that God Almighty will blow this trumpet. And if he does, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. See that you refuse not the voice of him that speaketh. God's voice is described here as the voice of two trumpets. Clearly, seems to me, representing both the Old Testament and the New. And yet we read in Numbers 10 that it was one piece. Two trumpets made together as one piece. Because the voice of God in Scripture, the revelation of God in Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New, is one message. This is not a book with many messages to different people. This is a book with one message to all people. And that one message is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Those two trumpets were typical of the gospel. The blowing of the trumpets symbolized the preaching of the gospel. And I'm not just pulling that out of my hat. The gospel of Christ is called the great trumpet. Turn to Isaiah 27. You're familiar, of course, with the passage in Isaiah 58. The Lord God says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Gospel preachers are to lift up their voice like a trumpet, proclaiming the gospel of God's free grace, both to prepare men and warn them, sounding an alarm because of their sin and of approaching judgment, and to bid them to come to Christ. Here in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13, the gospel is called the great trumpet. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown. The great trumpet shall be blown. And they shall come which were ready to perish. Oh, those who are ready to perish when they hear this great trumpet blown, they shall come that were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcast of the land of Egypt. Those who are far off from God, those who are God's sworn enemies, those who are the haters of God, they to perish when they hear the sound of the trumpet. They shall come, watch this, and they shall worship the Lord. They'll fall down before Him and worship Him in the holy mount at Jerusalem. And the picture is not giving us, or the prophecy is not giving us a word of a time when the Assyrians and the Egyptians are going to go to Jerusalem and there worship the Lord. No. We come, we Assyrians and Egyptians, though we were ready to perish, hearing the good news of redeeming grace, to Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem. And we worship God Almighty at His throne established in the heavens. These trumpets were made of silver. Made of silver. Not just any metal, but silver. Because the gospel, like silver, is fetched from the deep mines of Holy Scripture. Because the gospel, like silver, will bear and endure the test of Scripture. Because the gospel, like silver, is a precious, valuable thing. Infinitely precious, infinitely valuable. Because the gospel of God's grace is the everlasting gospel. It is called a trumpet of silver. And then we're told that these two trumpets, like the preaching of the gospel, were used for the calling of the assembly, for the gathering of God's elect. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Isn't this astounding? God Almighty could just as easily, with no encumbrance, speak directly to your heart and reveal Himself to you. God Almighty could send an angel from heaven and cause you to hear the voice of an angel and cause you then to repent and believe. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That means this is how God saves His people. As Moses was commanded to tell the sons of Aaron to lift up the trumpets and blow them, and not sounding an alarm now, but call the people to a holy convocation. And the people would be gathered from the south and from the north and from the east and from the west, and they would come all unto God at the tabernacle of the congregation. So the Lord God sends His gospel into the four corners of the earth, and He takes such things as He finds in broken pieces of human flesh and uses saved sinners to proclaim free grace to save sinners, and by the preaching of the gospel gathers His people to Himself. And when God speaks, He says, to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. And He brings His people from afar. These same trumpets, like the gospel of Christ, were used to inspire and to direct the children of Israel in their journeys to the land of promise. The Lord said to Moses, He said, now take these trumpets, and whenever you're about to move from one place to another, cause the sons of Aaron to blow the trumpets, so that these trumpets inspire and guide the people through the wilderness as they move toward the land of promise. And so it is by the preaching of the gospel that God inspires and directs His people as we go through this wilderness day by day. These two trumpets. I read something here that I thought was just wonderfully astounding. Turn back to Numbers 10 for a moment. Numbers 10. These two trumpets were God's ordained weapons of warfare for His people in the midst of their enemies, by which He promised to protect and deliver them. These two trumpets. Well, boy, that ain't much of a weapon. Give me some guns or some swords or something. That ain't much of a weapon. We're out here dealing with folks who've got ammunition and got arms and mighty and strong and numerous or well fortified. Give us something with which to do battle. Two trumpets. Just two trumpets. And look what God says about it. Numbers 10, verse 9. If you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemy. Well, if one of that has any parallel in our day, it sure does. Listen to this passage in 2 Corinthians 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. The cause of Christ, hear me, children of God, hear me. Would to God this religious generation that has no knowledge of God would hear me. The cause of Christ is never advanced by carnal weapons. Never. People ask you to join in those religious protests trying to shut down the porno shops. Don't do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. It'd be fine with me if every porno shop in the world was burned right now. Sooner the better. The folks want you to join in some kind of a crusade to shut them down. Folks want you to fight over whether or not you sell liquor by the drink in town. Don't y'all do it. Don't get involved with that. Folks want you to march with the papists, shut down abortion clinics. Don't do that. The cause of Christ is never advanced by carnal weapons. I had a preacher friend called, asked me the other day about some Campbellite to challenge him to a debate. He said, how do you handle that? I said, don't do it. The cause of Christ is never advanced by carnal weapons. And I want you to get involved in this thing or that so we can, we've got to do something to maintain the cause of Christ. The cause of Christ is not maintained by carnal weapons. is not maintained by us getting together and putting our heads together and writing logical creeds. It's not maintained by us looking back at our historicity and finding some basis in history for doing the things that we do. It is not advanced in any way by any carnal means. Well, how on earth do you expect to advance in this day? Just blow trumpets. That's all. Just preach the gospel. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. The power of God. Mighty through God. Pulling down strongholds. How do you deal with a man or a woman who has built a fortress in their minds and a steel door before their hearts and they say, no! I will not believe that gospel of free grace. No! I will not trust a substitute alone. No. How do you deal with that? Let's prove and argue and reason. Just preach. Just preach. Preach the gospel. And if God Almighty causes that word to be heard in that man's soul, every stronghold will be torn down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The trumpets were blown, but they were blown only by the sons of Aaron, by divinely appointed men. God Almighty gives His church pastors, teachers, gifted and called of God to preach the gospel. Brother Lindsay touched on this just a little bit this morning. In the church and kingdom of God, there's no big me and little you. It is not at all unusual for the pastor, man who's gifted and called of God to be pastor of a congregation, to be by nature the least likely man for the job. That's certainly the case here. God takes that which is worthless and useless, that which is better, and uses it so that the excellence and the power may obviously be of God and not of man, that no flesh glory in His presence. But this man who stands before you is just the voice of this assembly and the voice of God to this assembly if God speaks by us. But our labors are the labors of a unified body. The ministry God's given us is not my ministry, it's ours. Our work is not my work, it's our work. But still, the preaching of the gospel cannot be done except by a man ordained of God Almighty to do it. Any other attempts is just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Any other attempts is but futility. And I might as well say this, hoping that one of you fellows will play this tape down in Harrisburg next week. Buddy mentioned the other day the idiocy of somebody having, was a 4-year-old boy preaching in the paper? Idiocy. Just idiocy. Let 4-year-old boys be president of the United States quicker than to put them in a position of preaching to men and women in the name of God. What tomfoolery, what vicious maligning of that child, and what a vicious attack upon the glory of God. It's idiocy. It's worse than foolishness. It's criminal. It's criminal to deal with the things of God in such a way. and the preacher who's teaching him heard me say it. I want it to be heard. Now look at Numbers 10:10. These silver trumpets of grace were to be blown over the sacrifice. The Lord says here in verse 10, now in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. These trumpets were to be blown in the beginning of months. They were to be blown over the sacrifices, and they were to be blown as a memorial before the Lord, a memorial both of verses past and of verses promised. And the word memorial is used in just exactly that way throughout the Scriptures. So that the gospel is proclaimed. The trumpet is blown over the sacrifice because there's no good news to proclaim and no hope of mercy to deliver except on the basis of the sacrifice of the Son of God. But now, since Christ has been sacrificed, the gospel is proclaimed and we declare to men what God has done and what God says He's going to do. And so it is done as a memorial. All right, now quickly, here's the second thing. The gospel. Right, these trumpets is the voice of God. The blowing of these trumpets is described in the Scriptures as a joyful sound. Turn over to Psalm 89. The Feast of Trumpets was a symbolic representation of God's mercy, love, and grace proclaimed in the gospel. The blowing of the trumpets portrayed the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of good news, the good news of finished redemption, the good news of redemption finished and accomplished by a suitable sacrifice, the good news of salvation obtained by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with regard to any religion, any gospel that says do, it doesn't matter what brand it is. It doesn't matter whether it's the gospel of the Islamic fellows, or whether it's the gospel of the Jewish fellows, or the gospel of the Papist, or the gospel of the Baptist. It doesn't matter. Any gospel that comes and says do is no gospel at all. It is not a declaration of good news, it is the giving of good advice. It is not the declaration of something accomplished, it is the proposal of something for you to do. The gospel is a declaration done. Good news is done. Done. Everything done as God Himself would have it done. The gospel declares that redemption's done. That justice is satisfied. That sin is put away. That salvation's been obtained. That Christ has finished His work. And it was the realization of this fact. The realization of what was represented back in the Feast of Trumpets and in the blowing of the trumpets that inspired David as he wrote Psalm 89. Let's begin at verse 14. Look here. David says, justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth go before thy face. Now, wait a minute. Now, they can't both be. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. How can God Almighty be merciful and forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin, and be true and refuse to pardon iniquity, transgression, and sin? And He says He does both. How can that be? How can that be? Only one way. And that is because justice and judgment are the habitation of His throne. Mercy and truth in the person of Jesus Christ, His Son, goes before His face. Now watch this. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. God's people are men and women who know the gospel. They know the shepherd's voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Somebody said, when is a man or woman saved? When they learn the joyful sound. When they find out what the good news is.
when they're made to understand how God can be just and justify the ungodly, when they're made to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's when God saves sinners. They're made to know the joyful sound. These people are blessed, for they've been taught of God. These people are blessed. They've been called of God. These people are blessed. They were redeemed. They were chosen. Now, they're made to know the joyful sound. Watch this. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. We walked all our lives in darkness. Now we walk in the light, as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Read on. In thy name, that is in Christ the Lord, shall they rejoice all the day. In thy name shall they trust. In thy name shall they boast. In thy name shall they rejoice. The word includes all of those things. In thy name shall they rejoice as long as they walk through this world all the day. We are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Read on. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Now this is what that says. There came a time when God Almighty came to Merle Hart and to Bob Duff. Blind, ignorant, didn't know God, walking in darkness, and he calls you to hear the joyful sound. Calls you to hear his voice. Hearing the joyful sound, he calls you to walk in the light of his countenance. Causes you to believe and rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. How on this earth can God Almighty exalt you to the position of the sons of God at his throne? How can he lift sinners from the dung heap of fallen humanity at the very gates of hell and set them among the sons of God in righteousness? There ain't no other way. In righteousness. So that when we stand before God, accepted in Christ forever, one with Christ forever, is because it's right. Did you hear me? It's right. It's right. Folks say, oh God, don't deal with me in justice. He won't deal with you any other way. He'll either send you to hell in justice or he'll take you to glory in justice. But he's not going to compromise his character. Not for you, me, or anybody else. They shall be exalted in righteousness. Verse 17. For thou art the glory of their strength. He's our strength and our defense, our rock and our deliverer. And in thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. We're exalted in righteousness because you favored us with your grace. For the Lord is our defense, the Holy One of Israel. He's our key. That means everything's all right. All right, and here's the third thing. This blowing of the trumpet, this voice of God is the joyful sound. And it is a divine call. The preaching of the gospel is a call to weary sinners to rest. Back in Numbers, or Leviticus 23. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak unto the children of Israel, verse 24, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein.
Let me speak directly to you, both believers and you who are yet unbelievers.
The gospel calls you to a holy convocation. What a privilege. Come, Rex Bartley, to the throne of God and meet with the triune God and all His people and the spirits of just men made perfect and the angels of God in divine worship. Come on. Oh, what a privilege. And the gospel calls you who are ready to perish and far off. You who are haters of God, who live with your fist in God's face. Oh, what a gracious God our God is. He calls you to a holy convocation. He calls sinners to the throne of grace. He calls you to Him in mercy. And it sounds an alarm. Come or perish. Come or die. Come here. Come here now. Bow down before my throne and kiss my sword or feel it. Come to me. Not only does He call you to a holy convocation, He calls you to rest. Any preacher who gives you something to do to get you to come to God, gives you something to do to save you, gives you something to do to give you favor with God, gives you any preacher who assigns any task to you is a messenger of Satan, not of God. The gospel trumpet calls for rest. The gospel trumpet says, quit doing! That's your problem. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Children of God, come to me and rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your soul. The gospel calls you to a memorial. In preaching the gospel, we point back to the wondrous works of God, say, look here what God has done. God Almighty assumed human nature, walked on this earth in our room instead, brought in everlasting righteousness, fulfilled the law, magnified the law, made it honorable. He took on Himself our sins and put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. When He was made to be sin for us, He died the horrid death of the cross under the wrath of God Almighty, was buried and rose again the third day and ascended up into heaven. There He sits. And He who sitteth on His holy throne is ruling the universe for His people. And He's going to save them, everyone. And He's going to bring them through this wilderness into the land a promise, and He's going to cause them to possess their heritage in the fullness of His glory and His beauty as the sons of God. The trumpet in the Old Testament was sort of like the word behold in the New. Let me see if I can play a few notes.
Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, what good news. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God.